Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Praise the Lord. It's so good to be in church today. Amen. We're so happy that all of you are here. It's good to see Tom and Marilyn back after their world tour. Tom and Marilyn are missionaries in Haiti, and they're here. They've been traveling up in the Midwest, but they're back home now, and welcome home. We missed you guys a lot. It's good to have you back. Praise the Lord. Well, tomorrow is the 4th of July, and hopefully between your apple pie and your hamburger, your hot dog, or whatever you got going on for 4th of July, you're going to be able to come to Bryant Park and see all of us. We'll be there. Throughout the day, and so we're going to be painting faces, we're going to be handing out glow sticks once it gets dark, we're going to be just loving on people and just showing them the love of God, amen? You know, so many people have an idea that God is a taker, that he just wants something from you, and that he is harsh and not merciful, and we know that he is. He's so merciful and loves us so much, and so people say, well, what are you guys doing there? We're just loving on people. That's all we're doing. We're just love. We're giving stuff away for free. We're being nice. We're being kind. We're just showing people that God loves them, that we love them, and we don't want anything from them. We just want to love them. Amen? And so we'll be there all day tomorrow. It starts at 1 o'clock. They say it ends at 10. Ooh, Lord, be praying for me. And we're still looking for face painters. So if you're really good, if you're artistic, you know, you can draw and you're artistic, or you're really good with makeup, ladies, you're really good with makeup, you'd probably be great as a face painter. And so we will train. No experience needed. We will train you. Amen. And I use that we very loosely because it's not me. It's other people, artistic people. I'm not one of those. I'm an administrator. I make sure the line goes well. That's my job there. And but we got, you know, you would be surprised. Pastor Scott face paints. He does a great job. Josh face paints. Who else is a face painter in here? Raise your hand. Doug did a great job. Jessica, Megan. Everybody wanted to be at Jessica's table because she did a great job. The kids are walking away. They look like masterpieces. It was amazing. And so we're just going to have, but then there were the other, you know, we had, you know, SpongeBob. That was it. So we'll take any talent, but we need your help. Sign up at the Connection Center. Let us know you're coming. If you're just coming for the day to have fun, be sure to at least come by and say hi to us. Amen? Because we understand, you know, everybody's got family and stuff to do, but we're going to have a great time tomorrow. Amen? All right. Well, last week, hopefully you were here last week, and last week we had the Lazy Boy up on the stage. And how many are looking at your Lazy Boy chair a little bit differently now, right? And so last week, the whole challenge was to get you out of the chair. And we had a guest here last week. We had Andre. Wasn't he great? Andre from 4Kids, which is a foster care program for church to help get churches involved. And I am so proud of our church because it was only a week ago and he came and he told us that there's over 400,000 children in foster care in the United States of America. And it's up to the church to act. Amen. And so I am so excited because we've already had a family. Remember, it was only last week. They're already starting their classes on Saturday. Isn't that exciting? They've already filled out the application. They've already had interviews. They've already talked to us. We gave them a great personal recommendation. And talk about moving quick, right? And so then we had so many people volunteer and are praying about it and thinking about it, fill out papers. And so a lot of people last week got out of the chair. Amen? And I know Daryl and Angela will be happy to answer any questions you guys have. If maybe you're like, oh, I had a question for Andre, they'll be able to answer it for you. And it was just so powerful to see our church get up out of the chair and say, you know what, I'm going to do something about that. Wasn't that powerful? Amen. So we challenged you last week to get up out of the chair, to look at that lazy boy just a little bit different and think that my goal for life should not be comfort. If our goal for life is comfort, we're going to miss out on what God has for us. Because when we're used by God, most of the time it's going to take us out of our comfort zone. There's a time and a place for that lazy boy. Somebody say amen. Amen. There's a time and a place for it, so don't throw it out. Don't put it to the curb. There's a time and a place for it. God wants us to relax. He wants us to kick back. He wants us to kind of chill out a little bit. But that can't be our goal for life. Our goal for life should be, Lord, what would you have me do? Who would you have me be? Amen? And so this week, today I want to talk to you about what bothers you. Some of you say, the list is long, Pastor Peggy. You know, what bothers you? I read a book one time, and it was such a powerful book. It was recommended to me by a good friend of ours, Kevin Cooley. And one of the questions in the book was, what makes you pound your fist? What makes you pound your fist? You know, like when you're talking about something or you just are so passionate about something that the next thing you know, you're leaning over the table a little bit and you're explaining to somebody, you know, what's going on and the change that you want to see made and what's wrong with the situation. And you're like, and this is happening and this is happening, right? You guys do that, right? I hope you do. Because when you think about what makes you pound your fist, a lot of times that will help you locate what you are passionate about. Amen? And sometimes we say, oh, you shouldn't be like that. We should be like that for some things. We should be like that when it comes to the lost. We should be like that when it comes to seeing the enemy come and to steal and to kill and to destroy so many lives. We should be pounding our fists and saying, that's not right. Amen? And so when we locate what makes us pound our fists, what gets us a little excited, what we're passionate about, when we locate that, we're going to start moving in the direction that God wants us to go. Because so often we think that well, I'm passionate about this, but it's not in the church. A mistake that the body of Christ has made is thinking that your passion is only for this time on Sundays. Or your passion is only for, it has to be behind a pulpit, or it has to be in a children's ministry class, or it has to be as an usher. No, God has placed passions in our lives. He has placed things, you know, something that bothers us in our life, and he wants to use that and place us in every area of the world, in the political, in the education, in the civil rights, in the environment issues, all the issues that the world has. We need believers in there, people that operate with the power of God, under the anointing of God, the wisdom of God. How many think that the government would work a little bit better if we had some spirit-filled, tongue-talking people in it? Amen? People that said, hey, before I vote on this, I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to fast, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to see what God would have me do. How many think it would work a little bit better? How many of you would like your teacher who teaches at a public school to pray over that classroom and to speak the word over that class and to pray in the spirit over that class before your kids get there? And so the passions that God has for us, don't let the enemy lie to you and say they can only be used here. No, they're to be used everywhere. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'd much rather have, if I was there, I've never been in the hospital. I've never had surgery. God, amen. I'm complete lacking nothing. I even still have my tonsils. I even still have my wisdom teeth. I joke with Pastor Scott, I'm like, you know, that's why I'm so smart, because I still have my smart teeth. I never had my smart teeth removed. But if I was ever in the hospital, I'll tell you what, I'd want a nurse who would come in and pray for me. Amen. I'd want a nurse that prayed in the spirit over me. I'd want one that prayed before they got to work. That's the kind of nurse I'd want. That's the kind of doctor I'd want. That's the kind of surgeon I'd want. We need to realize that the passions and the desires we have in us, those come from God. And God wants to take those and he wants to infiltrate the entire world with godly people using the passions that God has placed in them. Doesn't that sound good? And so we need to make sure that we're lit up. This whole series is Ignite Your Life. And hopefully by the end of this series, everybody is going to have a more clear, more definitive direction in what God has for you to do and the mission that he has for you. Because when we try to just do our own thing, you know what? It doesn't pay the way that doing God's thing does. It just doesn't pay. And so turn over your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. This is one of my favorite books of the Bible. I preach on it quite a bit. Every time I read this book of the Bible, I just get more from it. It inspires me. It changes me. It corrects me. I love this. I love the story of Nehemiah. So we're going to start in Nehemiah chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse number 1. You guys ready? Who's ready to get lit up today? All right, let's do it. And I might pronounce some of these wrong, but they're going to be right today. All right? You know, that's just how you do it. You just barrel through like you know what you're talking about with some of these pronunciations. Nobody will know the difference. Here we go. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. Verse number 3. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. Verse number 4, Nehemiah says, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept for some days. I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now, when we hear this and we hear what happens, we can think, well, it's kind of a peculiar response, right? Because he cried, he mourned over a wall being knocked down. But what we have to understand is in this time, the wall of the city represented the strength of the people. It represented their protection. It showed how strong they were. And if the wall had been broken down, that meant that Jerusalem was open to attack from the enemy. That meant that the people that lived in the city had no protection. They had no security. They didn't have what they needed. And so when Nehemiah heard this, the Bible says that he really reacted strongly. He cried and he mourned for some days. And when we see that, we can say, but the thing about it was is that the other guys that were telling the story, we never hear about them reacting like that. The Bible doesn't say that Hanani or the other men who saw it, they saw it firsthand, but yet they didn't react that way. But when Nehemiah heard that information, when he heard that story, something on the inside of him began to burn. And he cried and he wept for the condition and what had happened to Jerusalem. But he didn't just stop there. He didn't just keep crying about it. He did something about it. Something sparked on the inside of him. And you know what? When you hear certain things or you see things, something stirs on the inside of you. And that's God showing you, hey, this is what you're passionate about. Amen? And so if you're taking notes today, point number one, a big idea we could call it, something we want to remember, it, God will ignite different things in people's hearts to fulfill his mission. Somebody say different things. Different things. Because there were other people there and they didn't get all upset about what was told. But here's Nehemiah and he's crying. He's mourning. He's fasting. He's going to God about it. And so they get lit up about different stuff. And you know, that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 13, how many know that's the love chapter? It is the love chapter, but we could also call it the correcting chapter. Because what had happened is that the leaders in the church, somebody say leaders, the leaders in the church were fighting. Because some of them, they wanted to give everything to the poor. And then others of them were like, no, we just want to praise and worship all day. We just want to have praise and worship all the time. And then others were saying, well, we just want to pray in tongues all the time. And so they were telling the ones who wanted to give to the poor, no, 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 that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pray in tongues all the time. And then the ones who wanted to worship all the time were like, no, 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 no. We're not supposed to pray in tongues all the time. We're not supposed to give all of our stuff to the poor. We're supposed to worship all the time. And so Paul had to come in and tell all of them, listen, if you give all your stuff to the poor, but you don't love people, it's not going to matter. If you praise and worship all the time, but you don't love people, it's not going to matter. And so Paul came in and said, listen, God's going to use each of us in different ways, but we got to love each other. We got to recognize and respect that people are going to be fired up about different things, different stuff. Something that you start pounding your fist over and you're telling somebody, they're just going to look at you and be like, okay, all right, see you later. Because that's not their thing. And so when we see this, we can see that there were other people there, but only Nehemiah got fired up about that. God's going to ignite different things in different people. And so here's Nehemiah, and here's the thing we want to recognize. He is 700 to 800 miles away from Jerusalem. He's a great distance from where he was. And so for you and I, if something's happening, just like Andre said on Sunday, he said, you know, if we hear something is happening in another country, we'll just be like, you know, okay. But when we heard that there was that many foster children right here in the U.S., boy, you could feel everybody like stand up like, what? What? Because it was close to home. But here's Nehemiah. It's something that's far away. But God is still stirring it in his heart. What ignites you may not ignite other people. And so we don't want to make the mistake of saying, you got to be like me. Let's let everybody do what God has placed in them to do and be a support for them. Amen? Let's not get offended when people don't get excited about what we're excited about. Let's just recognize different strokes. What's the rest? For different folks, right? And so when we think about that, why wasn't Hananiah, why wasn't he so passionate about it? It wasn't his mission. And when somebody's not passionate about what you're passionate about, you just need to recognize, you know what? This is my mission. This is what God's called me to do. And you got to do what God's called you to do. Amen? And so, all right, let's keep going here. Some people are, we see now, you say, well, what does that mean like now? How many of you met somebody or you know somebody that's really, really passionate about politics? How many met one? You know, I mean, boy, it just takes, I'll tell you a little story. We went on a cruise to Alaska a long time ago. It was, you know, several years ago, about 10 years. And Pastor Ray from camp, Pastor Ray Du Bois, he was with us. And so my dad and my uncle have very different political views. Very different. And so we're sitting at dinner, and they're both very outspoken. So I say to Pastor Ray, who's supposed to be my friend, I say to him, I say, listen, don't bring up politics. Because I just, you know, we're on vacation. I don't want to hear about it. Please don't bring up politics, right? So we're sitting down. We're at this beautiful table. We're all sitting there. And all of a sudden, Pastor Ray says, so what do you guys think about George Bush? And it was just like, psh, the fireworks started. It was like the 4th of July at our table. And I was just looking at him like, really? Really? And he was, I mean, he laughed. He thought it was so funny. But the thing is that we know people that are passionate about politics. And there's, you know, let's not get offended by that. Let's just recognize that they're passionate because they love their country. They love their country. They're concerned about where it's going. Whether they're on the right side or the left side, both of them, their motive is coming from the same place. And so when we see that, let's recognize, hey, that's a passion that they have. And you know what? When we think about tomorrow is the 4th of July, and thank God that there were men and women so many years ago who were passionate enough and pounded their fist enough and disagreed enough to start a war that set us free. Amen? I mean, so when people get on your last nerve on Facebook and all that, you know, we just need to step back and say, you know what? Passion, whether I agree or disagree, that's their passion. People are passionate about education. There are some people that are passionate about health issues. There are people that are passionate about civil rights. Whatever that passion is that you have, God's going to use you in a mighty way when you hook that passion up with God. Amen? And so when we think about this and we look at Nehemiah, we need to recognize that if we were Nehemiah and we're sitting there and we hear a story and it's 800 miles away, and here's the thing about people back then, they didn't travel. They only would travel about 20 miles outside their hometown. You know why? Because everything they did either on foot or on the back of an animal. And so he couldn't just jump on a plane and say, let me go check this out and fly over. He couldn't do that. And so when we think about it and we think about what Nehemiah is doing, he's really a very unlikely candidate to make a big change 800 miles away. And if you know, when we think about being 800 miles, that's a long way. You want to know what's, let me give you some examples. Haiti is 747 miles from West Palm Beach. Those of you who are passionate about politics, Washington, D.C., 858 miles away. Amen? And so we think about how the distance is. If God put something on the inside of you about politics and then said, hey, now get walking to Washington, D.C., we'd be like, yeah, that's all right. Right? But Nehemiah had a passion burning on the inside of him. Even though we could look at it and say, you know what, buddy, you're in the wrong place. You're too far away. But God still used him. When we think about Nehemiah and we think about what he did, we could say, you're in the wrong place, buddy. Or we could say he was the wrong person. Because here's something you don't know about Nehemiah. Let me tell you the end of the story so you can understand how important this is. Nehemiah went to Jerusalem. He rebuilt that wall in a very short time, and he gave strength and courage to the nation of Jerusalem that still lasts to this day. Amen? He did something that kings and princes and armies thought was impossible. He came in and he did it. But he was in the wrong place. He was too far away. And we could say that he was the wrong person, because the Bible tells us that he was in charge of nothing. He wasn't in charge of anything. So often when a passion begins to burn on the inside of us, the enemy talks us out of it like that. He says, listen, you're from the wrong side of the tracks. You're not in the right place. You're nobody. You're not in charge. You got to be in charge to make a change. Nehemiah shows us that's not true. He wasn't in charge. He had no authority or power. He didn't come from the right family. He didn't come from, you know, the aristocrats or anything like that. The Bible says he's the cup bearer. You know what that job is? That job is this. If this is going to be taken to the king, the cup bearer drinks it first. And then they all stand around and wait and see if he dies. That's his job. He drinks it. They wait. Are you going to die? Are you going to be sick? And if he doesn't die and he isn't sick, then he takes it to the king. And then the king can drink it. And then at lunchtime, he gets a plate of food. He takes a bite. They sit and wait. Are you going to die? And then they take it to the king. How many can see there's not a lot of job security here? He's what we would consider expendable. Nobody cared whether he lived or died. They only cared about the king. But yet he's the one that God put the mission on the inside of him. He's the one that God sparked a fire to do something about something that wasn't right. And so he had no authority. He had no power. He's the cupbearer. He's considered expendable. They don't care whether he lives or dies. He has no engineering degree. He has no college degree. He doesn't work on the king's construction crew building castles. That's not his job. But yet he is determined to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem. And he did it. He did it. So we could say, hey, he's in the wrong place. He's in the wrong position. And really, he's the wrong person. Because here's the thing about Nehemiah you may not know. He's never been to Jerusalem. He doesn't know anyone there. He doesn't have any family there. He doesn't have any contacts there. He's never been there. But yet, there's something burning on the inside of him that says, go and do this. And so when we look at it from the natural, he's the wrong guy in the wrong place with the wrong job. He doesn't have the right qualifications, and he's going to the wrong place. And that's what the enemy does to you when you start getting a fire on the inside about something. When you see something, you say, man, that's not right. Something needs to be done. God wants to use you to do something about it. And the enemy will come and say, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You don't know anybody. You're not in charge. You're not rich. You're not this. You're not that. But we got to remember Nehemiah, because all those things were true, yet he was still able to do what God had called him to. Because here's the rest of the story. Nehemiah was bold. He went to God and he prayed, and God told him to go to the king. And when he went to the king and told the king what he wanted to do, the king wrote him a letter. And in that letter it said, Nehemiah has a project. He has my protection and he has my provision. Whatever he needs, give it to him. And so Nehemiah went on his trip, and whenever he'd come up against somebody saying, what are you doing out here? Aren't you the cupbearer? Don't you got stuff to eat and taste? He would be like, I got a letter. And you've got wood, and you've got supplies. I got a letter. Give them to me. And they did. Why? Because he had a letter from the king. He had a letter from the king. But you know what? You got a letter from the king. Not just the king. You got a letter from the King of Kings. It's the word of God that says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You've got a letter from the King of Kings that says you are the head and not the tail. That you have favor with everyone you have in contact with. That you have the mind of Christ. That you have your steps ordered and directed by God. And so when the enemy says, when that fire begins to burn on the inside of you, and the enemy comes and says, you're nobody. You don't have what it takes. You're not the right person. You need to yell, Nehemiah was, and so am I. And I got a letter from the king that says, it doesn't matter what my past was. It doesn't matter where I've been. It doesn't matter what everybody else says about me. What matters is that God has lit something on the inside of me. He has caused me to be passionate about this or whatever it is for you. And I'm not just going to not do anything about it. I'm going to do something about it. Amen. I don't know about you, but man, I want to be like Nehemiah. I want to be like him. Because you know what? I can't tell you, when I said I was going in the ministry, I had people tell me, you're the wrong person. You're the wrong gender. You're the wrong everything. And I was like, well, I'm still going to do it. I still have people say, you're not allowed to do that. I'm like, I do it every Sunday. You want to come and watch? Come and watch. Amen? Don't let people tell you what you're supposed to do. Let God tell you what you're supposed to do. And if you'll do what God tells you to do, he'll make the way. Amen? But the thing is, here's what we do. We've got something going on the inside of us, and little sparks are, so, you know, they're trying to take, to be flames. And we're like this match. Wouldn't you like to be that skinny, right? Skinny little match. I want to be this skinny. This is us, you know? I mean, if you look at this thing, it's full of potential. This has the potential to do great things. It has the potential to be a fire. You know what fire does? It roasts marshmallows. And you know what you can do with a roasted marshmallow? You can make a s'more with it. This thing has the potential to do great things. But if it never gets lit, it just sits. It's full of potential, but it just sits. And you know what? A lot of you, this is you. You got some things burnt, you know, not burning yet, but just you got some things rustling on the inside. And you're trying to light this thing with the wrong things. You want to help me out here, Ben? You're trying to light this thing with just yourself. Trying to say, well, I'll just do me. Some of you young people, you're falling for a lie that says, just do what makes you happy. If it makes you happy, you do it. And you're like feeling like that's an empowerment statement. You know where that's going to lead you? It's going to lead you locked up. Because when all you feed is you, you become a flesh monster. You become just someone totally ruled by your flesh. What you want, when you want it, how you want it. And let me tell you something, young people. Life does not look kindly on that. I'm going to tell you a very quick story. I heard this on a tape that Anthony Rizzo, he's always giving me educational things. And I was listening to this tape, and it talked about this guy who had this zoo. He was the richest man in the world at the time. He had a private zoo, and he wanted this one animal that nobody else had. But everybody said, oh, it's too fast. You'll never catch a live one. It's too fast, and it's too smart. He said, oh, I'll get one. To make a long story short, the guy goes out there with his safari crew, and he rolls up oats and a sweet syrup. And he puts it on the ground, and the animals came, they ate it. Next day, he puts out more, they came. He did this for weeks. And then one day, he put up a post. And then he fed them for the week. And the next week, he put up another post. Fed them for the week, put up another post. Fed them for the week. And then he started putting up boards connected to the post. And he would just do it one at a time, one at a time, one at a time, and keep feeding. And they would keep coming, board after board, until he had a corral. And once he had that corral, a guy asked me, he said, how are you going to get these animals? Nobody else can get one. He goes, you mark my word, I'll have as many as I want when I'm finished. And sure enough, he created that corral, and those animals came in to eat it. And they were all eating what they wanted, and he closed the gate. The story goes, a true story. He picked out the ones he wanted, and he let the rest go free, and he put them in his zoo in his house. And the reporter said, how did you do that? He said, I do work with animals the same way I work with people. I give them what they want, and then I take from them their freedom and their beauty. So don't fall for that lie that what you want is good for you, because a lot of times what we want is going to lead us right into a trap. And you're going to keep striking your match against you and get nothing. Get nothing. And then other people, they try to do it with this. But you know, that's a good thing. Money's not a bad thing. But if that's what you're looking for to fill you up from the inside out, if that's what you're looking for to give you purpose, it's not going to last, because as soon as you spend that, it's gone. It's gone. It's not going to work. But when we get connected to God, we got to have contact with God. Not just hear about him, not just listen about him, but have personal contact with him. That's when the flame burns. And once that flame burns, that's when life begins. Amen? That's when life begins. Because now we're burning for something more than ourselves. Amen? We're burning for something more than us. Mother Teresa said this. Where's this quote I have for us? So, it's such a good one. Hold on. I got it. I know I got it. It's such a good, I mean, who loves her? I mean, you can't. Oh, that's it. Not all of us can do great things. Oh, look at you. Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. Let's not wait for a bonfire. You're going to be waiting forever. Everything starts with that spark. Get connected to God and start where you're at. Amen? You know, there are things that I'm passionate about the gospel. I'm passionate about teaching people who Jesus really is. It angers me. It enrages me when people believe lies about God. I mean, I just get so mad, and it moves me. It drives me to teach them. That's not who God is. God is good. God is kind. God is merciful. He loves you like nobody else. I'm passionate about that. And there are other, I'm passionate about poverty. I hate poverty. I hate to see children in lack. I hate that. I don't like it. And there is a passion on the inside of me that burns to make life better for children. Because I remember what it was like, and I think about when I was in grade school, That was a long time ago. It's got to be way worse now. And how many remember, maybe you were that kid, the kid that didn't have the supplies, the kid that didn't have the right shoes, that didn't have the uniform, that your pants were too short, your clothes were obviously tattered. You were that kid. And what happened? I know what happened when I was a kid. Everybody talked about you. Everybody pointed it out. It made you feel like you weren't right. And so now, because I'm passionate about that, and as a church, we love kids. We don't make a big deal out of this, but you know what we do every year before school starts? We make some phone calls. The people we know might be having a hard time. Hey, you got everything you need for school? What do you need? What do you need? I can't tell you how many times that Pastor Scott and I have taken kids shoe shopping. Because at church, we just see like, that kid needs some shoes. Let's go shopping. Because I don't want my family's kids not having what they need. Amen? And if that kid goes here, they're our family. They're our family. I don't want that kid to be the one when the teacher says, who doesn't have their supplies? And they have to raise their hand. No, I want our kids to be the one say, I got everything I need. Everything I need. Now, we may have missed some, but we make lots of phone calls. And every year, we buy school supplies, school clothes, school shoes, and school stuff. So that kid can go to school knowing, I got what I need. Because I'm passionate about that. I don't like to be at the store and be behind somebody that has to go one item at a time. How much is it? All right, next item. How much is it? All right, next item. I don't like that because my God is abundant. It breaks my heart when I see a mom have to turn around to her kid and say, we can't get the rest, honey. We can't get the rest. It shouldn't be that way. And so, you know, you say, well, what do you do? We can't do everything. No, we can't do everything, but we can do something. We can do something. And so you know what we do for that kid? When the go out, we tell the cashier, hey, put that cereal back up here. Let's get that cereal. Put that stuff back up here. And as the person's going to their car, we just walk by and drop the bag in their basket. Don't make a big deal to say, Jesus loves you. And keep on walking. I'm walking. I can't, you know, I asked Pastor Scott one day, I was like, babe, how much coffee are you drinking? How much coffee are you drinking? He goes, why? And I said, because every day you're Dunkin' Donuts, he's got the app, every day it's reloading. And he's like, babe, every time I go to Dunkin' Donuts, every time I pay for the person behind me. Every time. And sometimes they have big order, and sometimes they have a little order. He goes, but I do it every time because that's something God put on my heart to do. So sometimes you think we got to start big. But you know what? Flames and fires start small. We can't do everything, but we can do something. And when you do something, it can lead to everything. And so here's my prayer for us as a church, that all of us, all of BVC, that we would stop being this and we would get lit. For whatever our passion is, if your passion is the environment, man, get lit for it. Get lit for it. If your passion is children, get excited about it. If your passion is nursing and being a doctor or being in the healthcare, that you're going to make a difference, get excited about it and see what God will use you. I can't tell you how many testimonies that Sue has told me about people that she has prayed for. She doesn't work in a Christian place. She doesn't work at all, right, Sue? I mean, it's not a Christian place at all. But yet God uses her there as if it was it's like her own pulpit. It's like her own ministry. God brings people in and she lays hands on the sick and she prays for them and they get born again. I mean, it's amazing. You don't have to stand behind a pulpit to make a huge difference. Amen? So we got to find out what we're passionate about. What's making you pound your fist? What's making you look at something and say, man, that's not right? Not right. Daryl and Angela, years ago, they saw the plight of kids in foster care. What'd they do? They said, that's not right. That's not right. And now they got a big family. Amen? Now they got a big family. What are you saying? That's not right. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. You might be the wrong person. You might be in the wrong place. You might be in the wrong position. And you might not know anything about it. But if God put it on the inside of you and it has lit you up, God's going to do for you what he did for Nehemiah. You're going to get a letter from the king. Amen? And he's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. And we're going to be reading about you. Amen? We're going to be reading about you. Because you're doing something. Imagine what the difference BVC will make in the city of Lake Worth if we all get lit up. With whatever it is, God wants to use you. Let's pray together. Father, I pray for everyone here today that, Lord, that you would just encourage them, that you would remind them that, yeah, they are the wrong person, they're in the wrong place, they don't know anything about it, but God, you are El Shaddai. You are the God who is more than enough. Whatever we need to do what you called us to, we have in you. And that you lead us and you guide us. And we've got a letter from you that says, we can do all things through you. Father, I pray for every person here that maybe they're trying to get their passion, get their life mission, get what they're supposed to do when they grow up. They're trying to get it from books. They're trying to get it from people. They're trying to get it because of money. They're trying to get it for all the wrong reasons. Lord, I would pray that they would connect with you. They would connect with you so they could hear from you what their life mission is. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that as a church and as individuals, that we burn bright for you. That we burn in the government. We burn in the education. We burn with civil rights. We burn with the environment. We burn in the healthcare industry. We burn everywhere we go. We burn brightly for you. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we are a holy nation. We are a royal priesthood, and you're going to use us to do great things. Thank you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a minute, maybe you're here today and you say, Peggy, that sounds good. That sounds good, but I'm not ready yet. Well, the first step we got to take to get ready, to have a life that brings joy, have a life that brings contentment, have a life that brings peace. The first place we need to start is with Jesus. Jesus came for you. He died for you. He rose again for you. You say, why did he do that? Because you have sinned. You have made mistakes. Somebody has to pay that price. And Jesus, the Son of God, said, I will pay it. I'll pay it. That's what the whole song that we sang, the beautiful exchange. Jesus said, I'll come and pay the price for you. Why? Because he loves you. But you must receive that gift that he's made for you. You must receive it. Receive his salvation, his forgiveness, his redemption. Say, how do I do that? You say yes to him. If you're here today and you want to say yes to Jesus, you want to say, Jesus, I want to give you all of me, all my mistakes, all my hurts, all my pain. I want to give you all of me for all of you. I want to make an exchange. My hurt for your healing. My sin for your forgiveness, my brokenness for your salvation. Jesus wants to make you whole. If that's you, just raise your hand up big and tall. You're not raising your hand to me, you're raising it to God. I see your hand. I see your hand. When you raise your hand, you raise your heart and you say, Jesus, I want to make you my Lord and Savior. Anybody want to join these two that have raised their hand? Let's say this prayer together. Say, Father God, I accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came, that he died, that he rose again, all for me, also that I could be forgiven, set free, on my way to heaven, and a child of God. I'm born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Woo! All right. Well, here we go. Before you leave here today, I just want you to take a minute, get your phone out, get a piece of paper out, and write down what bothers you. What bothers you? What are you looking at and saying, man, that's not right? And then share it with us so we can support you. Because we're in this together. Amen? We recognize that there's different passions, but let's support each other in our passions. Amen? So let us know. Write it on our Facebook. Send us an email. Write it on a piece of paper and hand it to us just so we know so we can be praying for you and supporting you. Amen? All right. We're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offerings. Who's ready to give today?